Hello there, and thank you for joining with us this Wednesday evening. And we do trust that the Lord will meet with us. We trust that he will bless you and encourage your heart. Special word of thanks for coming along to join with us now. If you're from Agalee Free Presbyterian Church, as you know, on Wednesday evening, we usually have our Zoom prayer meeting at this time and when I bring the word. But today, maybe I'm speaking to someone you can't Zoom with us. You can't be there. Well, we trust that wherever you are, that the Lord will sustain you and give you much encouragement in these days. I've just one or two things to say to those of the congregation who cannot be out of the Zoom meeting tonight at 8 o'clock. And that is, please do pray for the word as it continues to go up on Facebook. We're thankful to the Lord that we have these means that we can use to get the word of God out, that Christians might be edified, strengthened, and that the unsaved might be won to the Lord, even during these terrible days of being shut in the house and terrible days of pandemic. Do remember those who are sick as well. There are quite a number known to us that are ill in one way or another, and they'll need the Lord's help. They need his grace and his peace, and to know his sustaining hand upon them at this time. Do pray again for our own messages as we put one up on a Monday and on a Thursday and Friday, and there is, of course, Wednesday's meeting, and then Sunday meetings as well. Now, as you know, or as the congregation will be aware, that we are meeting on Friday evening as a presbytery, and again, the voluntary close down of our churches will be discussed. But I am assuming that whatever the outcome of that meeting is, that this coming Sunday, we will still be on Facebook and sermon audio, that we will not this Sunday anyway be back in our churches. But do pray for wisdom for all of us in presbytery, that we will know the mind of the Lord and do the right thing as far as the Lord is concerned and as far as the people in our church and around us are concerned as well. We do want you to remember as a congregation that I, as your minister, do be praying for you every day. If you have any spiritual need and you want to talk to me, please do get in contact on the phone. Now, if you have your Bible there, I would like you, please, to turn to Habakkuk. And we are coming this evening to our final time of looking in the book of Habakkuk for this time. We have looked at it on, I'm not sure, maybe 6 or 7 or 8 other occasions. And we did note that Habakkuk was a very gloomy man at the beginning of the book. He was very discouraged and frustrated too. And then at the end of the book, we said he was a very joyful character. And his journey is very much like our situation at the present time. We don't quite understand what's going on. We do acknowledge that God is in control and God is always doing that which is right. And we trust that as we pray, that the Lord will give us rejoicing in our hearts as well. So we're looking in Habakkuk and its chapter, the final chapter of the book over in Habakkuk chapter 3. Just reading the final 3 verses there of the book. It says, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labour of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stall. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon my high places. And it says to the chief singer, upon my stringed instruments. Amen. And we trust that the Lord will bless this reading of the final few verses in the book of Habakkuk to our hearts and for his name's sake. The prophet, as I think I mentioned to you last time, he's had quite a roller coaster experience in the book. As we read the details there of his experience, he certainly was one who he was willing to face reality. And that is something that every Christian has to do. We cannot fully understand the working of God and how he works and why he works in certain ways. We cannot fully understand sometimes his timing either. But as someone once said, it is important that Christians remember not to live on explanations, but rather we live leaning on the promises of God. Remember what we read earlier on another occasion in the book Habakkuk, there in chapter 2, the just shall live by his faith. And with respect, we have to say that that is what Habakkuk was doing. Now, he had a little blip at the beginning when he was saying to the Lord, I don't know why you're not listening. I don't know why you're not looking. I don't know why you're not dealing with this situation. But God has some very important words to say to him and to show him that he certainly was working. He was going to use the Babylonians. Now, the Babylonians, when they come and were used as an instrument in the hand of the Lord to chasten Habakkuk's people, they were going to be violent. And they were going to cause great hardship and great turmoil for Habakkuk and his people. Chapter 2 there, and the verse 17 says there, the violence of Lebanon shall cover thee. What an awful thing that it was going to be for the people who were with Habakkuk. But there in verse 17 and 18 and 19 of chapter 3 that we read just a few moments ago there, it refers to figs and to the various things that really were very, very important in the life of Habakkuk and his people. And really, if you want to bring it up to date, Habakkuk was saying here, even though the shelves are empty, because if you look there, it talks about the figs and the vine and the olive and all of those things that were important for everyday life. Even though they're not there, I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. And folks, we know that the chastening hand of the Lord in some degree is upon our whole nation, upon this world. And it's warning this world of a judgment day that is coming. And so many people are not ready to meet God. But for us, God's people, let's determine in our hearts that even though in these days there is certainly chastening for us as God's people, strange times, we don't like them. And we're praying, and we're rightly praying that they would go away soon. God would come in mercy and remove this pandemic. But in the meantime, let's be endeavour to be like Habakkuk. For he's saying there, even though these things are not there, even though around me, things seem to be falling apart. Now, what part of our country is not falling apart at the present time? I do not want to get into all the whys and wherefores and the ifs and buts of political life and of the life of the lawmakers and of those who pass the laws in our country and all of that. But needless to say, believer, if you love the Lord, there's plenty today that unsettles you, and plenty that could take away your joy. Remember how Habakkuk was at the start, how he was so downcast. Well, really, what he's saying here at the end of the book is, we rest on thee. And that is the title to the few thoughts that I have to leave with you today. We rest on thee. There is some things I want you to notice then. There is, first of all, steadfast realization. Steadfast realization. He's saying here in verse 17, although the fig tree shall not blossom. He mentions a lot of other things there. And he says, even though these things are not happening, I'm still going to be resting in the Lord. Trouble without, a degree of turmoil within, but he's knowing now that God is at work, and you and I know that too. God is at work, and he's always working for the betterment of his people. Remember what we read in the book of Romans, that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. But it does not say there or indicate in any way that all things that we see will seem to be working together. It does not even say that we will feel that all things are working together. Maybe quite the contrary. But it says that all things do work together because God says they are in his word. And that was the realization that Habakkuk came to, and it steadied him. And it settled him. And he knew that there were hard days coming. But yet now, as he rested upon the Lord, there was steadfastness in his thinking again. Christian, I hope you're not unsettled. I'm sure you're worried like all of the rest of us in some degree, but I hope that anxiety and concern is not dominating your life, that it's not affecting your health. You see, there are certain things that Habakkuk had to realize. At the opening of this book, he was expressing his feelings. He was doing that very clearly to the Lord, and he was actually arguing with the Lord. And he was not only expressing his feelings, but he was bringing to the Lord's attention everything that Habakkuk saw around him. That reminds us of something. And we want to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. I do. You do too. But remember this. He realized that he could not rely on feelings alone. It was important that he was moved. And that he was concerned for his fellow countrymen. And in Northern Ireland, we have every reason to be concerned for our fellow countrymen, for our boys and girls coming afterwards. And we have every reason to want the very best for them. And want them to enjoy the blessing of the Lord. And certainly want them to have the heritage that we have. But we must realize that our feelings themselves are not suffice. We need to rest upon what God has said. And that is what Habakkuk was now doing. He had prayed. Remember, we noted that the last time, that God would come and revive his work, and that God would be pleased to move through the land. And the Lord said in those other verses in this chapter that God came and God stood and then God marched. Who knows what's going to happen regarding the pandemic or anything else? We need to realize that feelings, we cannot rely on them by themselves. He also realized that in weakness, God had a word of encouragement for him. However weak you may feel today, Christian, God has a word for us. Now we need to open the Bible. And we need to read the word of God and ask the Lord to encourage us. But he'll not let us down. But you may not come away clear with all the answers or full understanding of what's happening. But he'll have a word of encouragement for our hearts. Remember David, when those who should have been standing with him, because remember in that occasion he did not do anything that was wrong. But it says the men spoke of stoning him. There are some leaders and they deserved all that was coming to them because they were hopeless. Saul was one of them. He was a terrible leader. But David, the men spoke of stoning him when they should have been upholding him. And you know what it says in the Bible? David encouraged himself in God. And that's what you and I can do. Even in the midst of this pandemic. And whenever you encourage yourself in the Lord, and you realize that feelings can be deceptive, that feelings of themselves are not sufficient for us, then already we stabilize. And there is that steadfastness that comes into our life. Remember, he realized as well that faith worked. Faith worked. Because he'd been told here the just shall live by his faith. At the start, he was faltering a little bit. He was consumed with the destruction that he saw around him and all the difficulties he saw. And he saw the problem of, he was aware that those things which the Babylonians engaged in, that his own people, they were engaged in them in some degree. Whether they tried to hide them or not, it doesn't matter. They were there. And Habakkuk was aware of that. You know what he knew? He knew that it was faith. Faith worked. just looking to the Lord and leaning on him. Remember in the book of Esther, where Esther was very bold and went into the king to speak for her people. She wasn't allowed to do that unless she was particularly invited, but she went in anyway. Remember, her words were, if I live, if I perish, I perish. But you remember the words in that book where it says, who knows whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? And the Lord has you and I here now, brothers and sisters. It's nice to think of what God did in past days, past generations, through people who were notable, notable preachers, for instance, or others in public life. But we're here now, and we're accountable to those that come after. Now, we don't have to be accountable of why we were not great, but we do have to be accountable as to whether or not we were faithful. Therefore, it's so important that we realize, as Habakkuk did, that this faith works. Let's keep looking to the Lord. He also realized that God's ultimate purpose, God's purpose would ultimately be carried out. And so it will in Northern Ireland. And you and I, as God's people today, I'm not sure what all your difficulties are, of course, or everything that's there that unsettles you. I just want to say that there's enough about to unsettle us all when we consider all of our family circles and all of the situations in our own land. There's enough to unsettle you. Well, what about we rest on thee? Resting on the Lord. Remember what Habakkuk said, even though the shelves may seem to be a bit empty, we're resting on thee. And I trust today that there will be that steadying realization with all of us. But there was not just the steadying realization. There was the song returning. You see there that he says in these verses, I will rejoice in thee. Do you remember in the earlier verses, his lips and his voice had been quivering, but now his lips are singing. He's rejoicing in the Lord, and he's back to that point where he's got the song back again. Now, if you read the book of Lamentations, you will see there just how awful it was when the Babylonians did come. But you have Habakkuk here, he's saying, I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. The book of Exodus there, whenever Moses and the children of Israel came across the Red Sea, they sang the song of Moses and the Lamb. Really, the song was in their heart, and it was a song that was singing about the goodness and the greatness and the blessing and the mercy of the Lord. And that is a song that every Christian has when they are saved. But sometimes the song can be hushed a little bit, and it can be hushed when you look around you. It was hushed for Habakkuk for a time, but now it's back again. You think of Psalm 137. I just turned to that with you in a moment. When the Babylonian war machine had come in and destroyed Jerusalem and taken away so many into captivity, it says in Psalm 137, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. Remember the homeland. Remember the place where God was honored. It says there, we hanged our harps, in verse 2. Verse 4 says, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Their song was gone. A bit danger these days of Christians losing their song. And they can lose their song because they focus upon the circumstances. And I want to say some things about that. We're thinking here of the return of the song. We've noted as they rest upon the Lord, as Habakkuk would rest upon the Lord, that there was the not just the song returning, there was the stabilizing realization, but then there's the song returning. We're thinking of the circumstances. Circumstances are very often unfavorable. Surely we go through nice periods of time when everything seems to be well. It doesn't usually last very long. Whether that is individually or as the people of God in general. and the Church of Christ in general, circumstances, generally speaking, are not favorable. See, we can have to remember that this world is not our home. We're just passing through. And circumstances can very often be unfavorable. Maybe your particular circumstances are not too favorable at the moment. You can still rest in the Lord. You can still sing. Because if we're just depending on circumstances, circumstances sometimes can blind us to God's will and purpose because we focus on them. Don't want to do that. We want to remember the just shall live by his faith. We're looking to the Lord, the one who has higher thoughts and higher ways than we do. And not forgetting, of course, that the Lord ultimately is in control and his purpose will be carried out. Over there in the Psalm 118, I could turn your attention again to the book of Psalms. Just quickly, Psalm 118. There are many who look at this psalm and they think that the psalm was sung at the dedication when the temple was restored. But it says there in verse 14, the Lord is my strength and song. Here's a glad people, a glad writer. The Lord is my strength and song. And I trust today that he is your song, Christian. If you've lost the song, I hope you get it back now. As you look away from circumstances, the best you can. Of course, we can't pretend that they're not there. And we have sometimes to, and responsibility to do something about those circumstances. But let's look to the Lord. And make sure, Christian, that we don't lose this song. It's so important for us to be able to rejoice in the Lord. So there was the returning psalm. In fact, over there in that Psalm 118 and 14, you see here that where it says, he has become my song, the thought there is of singing loudly and an outburst of joy and gladness. Could I just say concerning the song, anger can take our song away. Habakkuk was angry at the start. Plenty around us in the world today. Maybe you're not usually angry, Christian, but there's plenty to make you angry. Anger can steal away our song. Unbelief can steal away our song. You know about the two on the Emmaus Road. How downcast they were. You almost get depressed when you read about them. And then the Lord came along. And he opened the word and he spoke with them of the things concerning himself. And the narrative there shows us that their hearts were filled with great joy. Their hearts actually burned within them. Blessed thing to be walking with the Lord every day with a heart that is on fire for him. And to be quietly in your own place and in the position where God in his providence has placed you in his work. Maybe it's sitting at home praying every day. Maybe it's doing some other thing in the work. Maybe it's preaching. But to be there with a heart that is on fire for the Lord. But then when unbelief comes in, the two on the Emmaus Road, they were initially thinking, well, that's it over, the Lord's gone. It's all over. Of course it wasn't. The Lord drew near and blessed them. And they can draw near to us today. Unbelief can steal your song. Anger can steal your song. The world is out every day to steal your song. I'm sure you know that. It's out every day, even in the most subtle way sometimes, to take away your song. Neglect on our part can steal our song. Need we be making use of the means that God has given to us? Enjoy Christian fellowship every time we can. Look at his word every day. Ask God to use it to instruct us and to build us up. Seek his face in prayer as we must do. Then neglect will not set in. There was a steadying realization here in Habakkuk's experience, even though everything was not as he would have it to be around him. He realized, and he realized that God was in control, that he wasn't relying on feelings. He was relying on the word. It was faith. not just a steady realization, but the psalm had returned. But finally, there is strong reliance. You look there, verse 19 says, "The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places." The reference here is to a deer that is skipping along on the mountain when he makes his feet like hinds' feet. When you think of a hind, you think of something that is fast, but something also that is sure-footed, because the hind is like that. And that's really what Habakkuk is saying. I'm going to be sure-footed. I'm not going to be brought down into a state of drudgery, but I'm going to skip along with the Lord as I rest on him. So it's interesting, again, if you look through the book, he started off in the valley. Then he got to the watchtower. When he got to the watchtower, the Lord showed him the woes. He showed him what he was going to do. And now he's on the mountain again, because it tells us there about the high places. And I trust today that the Lord will help you and I to know what it is to live in the joy of the Lord. That there will be that steadiness with us, that we'll not lose the song, but that there will be with us, there will be that strong reliance upon him. Where he says here, "I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation." The word joy there literally means I will spin round. You've heard the expression, jumping for joy. Sometimes if you tell a little boy or girl, if they eat their dinner all up, they'll get a sweet, and jump for joy. Well, that's the thought here. That's what the word means. It means spin around. The gloominess is gone. The defeatism has lifted now. And here we have this man Habakkuk that met us in the first chapter as such a downcast man. Now he's rejoicing in the Lord. And I trust today, indeed every day, that you and I will know what it is to go from victory to victory. Trusting in the Lord, living by faith, looking to him, brethren and sisters, through these uncertain times, wherever you are today. Maybe I know you're confined to the house right now. We're praying for you. Maybe I don't know you at all, and I don't know your circumstances. Remember to rest on the Lord, for it's there that our heart will be rejoiced, and we will see the faithfulness of the Lord. May the Lord be pleased. Bless his few thoughts to your hearts.